So St. Paul in chapter 2 of Philippians gives us these beautiful words of this ideal plan for the family of God, the body of Christ, the believers of Jesus. And Jesus gives us this great challenge. For the third week in a row now, we have our kind of an underlying theme of the mercy of God. If we recall from 2 weeks ago when the man was relieved of this unpayable debt, showing that we can never give to God what we truly owe him, but through the death and resurrection of Jesus, our debt has been paid, and we've been welcomed into the fullness of the family of God. And then last week, the workers in the vineyard, how even those who stand around idly all day long, at the very end, make their way to the vineyard, get a full day's wage. The mercy of God knows no bounds. It's endless. And we all receive the fullness of God's grace if we stay in the vineyard and work. And then today, the mercy of God, even to the tax collectors and prostitutes. We don't really have in our society these great distinctions between people. I mean, privately, we might look down upon those people who do those bad things. But we don't really have these public classes of division. Maybe in the political world, you know, some of us have made politics our god, our idol. We worship, you know, the 24-hour news cycle. So we can maybe imagine the two political parties and being in complete opposition, and we can't see any good in the other group. Or maybe rivalry football teams. But it's that kind of division that existed at the time of Jesus between the Jews and everybody else. And within the Jews, we had the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, who, because of their position within the community, had placed themselves on that pedestal of perfection. That high space where they could look down upon everyone else. And it's to that division, that distinction, that Christ is speaking today. Because we're in Matthew chapter 22. There are 28 chapters in Matthew's gospel. And we know the last few chapters are all about the passion and death. So when we're in chapter 22, that means we're very close to the end of his public ministry. And so it's good to know that context. And even more than that, this is happening during what we call Holy Week. If we go back a little bit before this passage, was that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where the people were singing out Hosanna in the highest. And then Jesus made his way to the temple and saw the disgraceful practices that were taking place there. So he flipped over the tables and drove out the money changers. And then these chief priests, these elders, are like, who do you think you are? Who gives you the authority to do all these things, to say all these things? Who do you think you are? Jesus said, well, before I answer that, tell me what you believe about John the Baptist. And they were silent because they refused to admit the truth of who he was, and they were afraid of the response of the people if they denied his righteousness. So they were silent. And so Jesus said, well, you won't answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. And he goes on to tell this story about a father who goes to his two sons. This current motif that we have throughout all of the scriptures. So frequently we have that, a father and his two sons. It's a reminder to us that we're called to be a family. And through the waters of baptism, we've been adopted into the family of God. And that should be our primary disposition. The foundation of our lives should be that we are a member of this one family. And this is why St. Paul could give us these beautiful inspirations of this ideal life of what the family, the community of God should be like. But so often, 2,000 years later, we're still living with these divisions. Maybe not these class divisions in society, but we divide ourselves. And oftentimes we are divided ourselves. And so why Christ is telling this story about two sons, and with their responses, those of you who are raising or who have raised teenagers, I imagine that these boys are teenagers. Go clean your room, yes, Mom, and then has no intention of doing it. I'm sure that never happens. And then the good son, right? The son who is annoyed by being asked to do it, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. But then he changes his mind and goes to do it. And so that's a reality, because that's what happened. He's speaking to the chief priests. They're in this position of authority. They have all the right words. They dress the right way. They have the great media and social media profile. They have all the right friends. They're a member of all the right clubs. They got into the right schools. They are somebody that everybody wants to be. And so they know how to say the right words. But as Christ says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And this is why Christ is grilling them today. Because this is the mercy of God on display. Even when it comes in harsh words, it's God's mercy. This last ditch effort to get them to convert. Because Christ knows he's going to die in a couple of days. And he's trying whatever he can to get them to change their minds. But it was the tax collectors and the prostitutes who, by their way of life, originally said no to the invitation. That they chose to live the life that they wanted to live. But then when confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life, they went and did the good work. They changed. They repented. And so which group are you? Which son are you? Do you have all the facade of everything being put together out in the world and here in the church? You know exactly when to genuflect. You know how to make the perfect sign of the cross. You know every prayer in English and in Latin. But you're still holding back your heart. You haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're still saying no. I'm not willing. I'm not ready to submit to the authority, to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a little bit of both. Christ is inviting you today to hear this call of mercy, this call of repentance, because it's really the call of freedom. Why do we reject the church and her teachings and all her rules? Because I'm a self-made person. I'm independent. I can do my own thing. I can make my own way. This is the American Revolution. Who are you to tell me how to live my life, how to spend my money, how to spend my time? How dare you? I'll let you into my heart where there's room for you, but don't try to impose upon me. How often do we say that? We want to be free, but we have bought into the misguided notion of freedom. The freedom that the world tells us means I'm free from any restrictions, that I can do what I want to do. So I'll clean my room when I want to, Mom. Be quiet. I'll stay out as late as I want to. You can't tell me when to come home. You can't tell me who to date. You can't tell me what apps I can have on my phone. You can't tell me what to wear. You can't tell me I have to go to Mass on Sunday. I'm my own person. I can make my own way. And this isn't just teenagers who think this way. The adults think this way too. We're just learned not to say it. Christ is inviting you today to reconsider, to have amongst yourselves the attitude of Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, coming in the appearance, in the form of a human, becoming a slave, being obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. That's how We get out of that Tucson mentality. That's how we achieve this great vision of the glory, the glorious body of Christ being of one mind and one heart. Is that today and tomorrow and the next day we decide, I'm dying to myself. I won't be acting out of selfishness and vainglory. I won't put myself first, my needs, my wants, my desires. I will bind myself to Jesus Christ and his church. That's what your heart is truly made for. When you go out on your independent streak, you're looking for freedom. You're looking for happiness. That's why Adam and Eve grasped at and clung to that forbidden fruit. They thought they could make their own way. And we repeat that original sin every time we turn away from Jesus and his gospel. But unlike Christ, who didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at, we grasp at anything we can to make ourselves feel a little bit more important than the person next to us. Christ says, let it go. Release. Surrender your dreams, your ideas of self-sufficiency and self-domination. And empty yourself. Bind yourself. Because the reality is that we're slaves, and we can't not be. So we can either be a slave to Jesus Christ or a slave to this world. And a slave to this world leads us to hell. A slave to Jesus Christ leads us to heaven. It's the only way. We're made to be bound to that great King, that Lord, Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate Respect Life Month this month of October, one of the great ways that we can experience this binding and this surrendering is in the great sacrament of holy matrimony that is under a diabolical attack in this country and throughout the West. So many people are suffering. But the ideal of marriage is a mutual submission. I choose to surrender myself to you, and you do the same to me. But the married couple is a vision to the world of what God's love looks like. This surrendering, this self-emptying of Jesus on the cross is made present to us each day when married couples choose to live the vows that they made to God. And this is why we honor and respect and should be defending marriage. And I know many of us, maybe here today and in our world, have made bad choices in marriage or facing the consequences of bad choices in marriage. That doesn't mean we have to change our idea of what marriage is. We pray for, we support, we lift up those who are hurting and broken. But we still fight for what is true, because it is true. Because God desires the married couple to be an icon to the world of what his love looks like. And one of the reasons why our world is perishing is because we don't have those images. So have amongst yourselves this attitude of Jesus, so that if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, St. Paul says, complete his joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, one in thinking, and doing nothing out of selfishness or vainglory. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. If we just focused on that one thing for the rest of our life, can you imagine the change that we would see in this world if we humbly regard others as more important than ourselves? These two sons were battling about what was most important, their own selfish ideas of what was important in that moment and what was good to do. The chief priests and the elders had already decided that they knew what was good and nothing was going to change their mind. The tax collectors and the prostitutes encountered the mercy of God and they changed their lives. Christ is inviting you to that today, to change your life, to surrender your dreams, your ideas, your ideals of what your life is supposed to be, and humbly receive from Him freedom. Be free today. Be free in Christ Jesus. It's what your heart was made for. It's what your heart needs. Amen.